Today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to the book of Philippians, final few verses in chapter 4.
The whole thing here is an exercise in dependency in both places. Now that's the point I'm about to make here. Whether you're full or whether you have loss, it's all about dependency.
Contentment. Contentment can be found in the complete dependence upon God, and that is what we learn in these final few verses of Philippians. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon will take us to chapter 4, verses 4 through 23. Our text today can be found in verses 10 through 23, but it's all about contentment and how we gain contentment in Christ. And then at the close of the program, Pastor Chris has an invitation, upcoming conference here in Escondido. But for now, here's Chris in today's program.
Beginning at verse 4, this is the word of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there is anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that ends the book of Philippians today. Paul begins to close this book today, as we read, with the subject of contentment. And it's such an important theme to end the book on that note. I think this is a very helpful passage for us in our times, especially because Paul was telling these Philippians that in every single circumstance, remember, this is a book of perspective, isn't it? In every single circumstance, you are to have a perspective about life. That's how he's been helping us through this book. And we've summed up this whole motivation by recognizing that this life for the believer is to be one, the Lord's will, of two twin blessings of joy and that of peace. Those are the Lord's blessings to you of his mediatorial work. This is what Jesus kept saying after the resurrection. Joy and peace to you. And so in every circumstance, the apostle has understood life that way. And until we appreciate that, we'll be fighting against the Lord in many ways when we find ourselves in the circumstances that we don't like or that bring a lot of difficulty. Paul had to help the Philippians through a wrong view of life. They had suffered. They had been through an intense trial for the gospel. And after dealing with all these problems, he's been building and helping them to a final conclusion. Throughout the book, of course, he's been working toward this. He said, if you really have this perspective in life, that the Lord is sovereign in his care for you, that he has started a good work in you and he'll complete that good work, that Christ is in control of everything that is happening, that you are partakers with him then in his sufferings, being conformed to his image and sharing in his mind. That was chapter 2. Have that mind that was in Christ Jesus, that mind should be in you. The purpose then is that you would shine as lights in this dark world. And in those sovereign appointments, there are certain things that are going to follow in the way you handle yourself, how you look at things. And that's where it left us last time with this great calling. We'd worked from the mind of Christ to servanthood to losing all things for Christ, realizing our justification comes from God. It was nothing in us. We don't have to work anymore that way to try to establish our greatness. That's all over. He really has emptied, as the Lord was talking about in chapter 2, he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. Paul's been working to make us nothing and to raise us and exalt us in the Lord. And so here we are now. Last time he said that one of the great blessings is peace for you. So anxiety's out. You don't have to be anxious. He's taken that burden. Don't be anxious about anything, he said. But in everything, instead, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the blessing will be, the promise of his mediatorial work, Jesus's, is peace for you. The peace of God will surround your heart and your mind. That military word, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's one of his great blessings for you. Come to him, talk to him. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you, he's going to care for you, he's going to provide for you, and he's going to give you through his Son peace. That's what we looked at last time as one of the benefits of the gospel, that we have the privilege to come to the throne of grace and to talk to the Lord. Well, now, as we've turned from this, now what Paul addresses at this point is a final word on contentment. But notice here, it's really a thank you. It's rooted in a thank you letter to them, which is one of the great purposes he wrote this epistle. Sure, there was the conflict in the church and he was setting the church back straight, getting them on the right path. But he also wanted to say thank you to this church, because this church had been remarkable in its support to him. And he wants to leave them with the word in this thank you to continue the theme of the book. He wants to leave them with a word on contentment and how we are to understand need in this life, which flows out of the whole discussion, as we looked at last time, on anxiety. If there's anything that could cause a lot of anxiety and trouble for people, it is to be anxious about having our needs met. That really is the heart of this. We all worry about this incessantly. We worry about our health. We worry about our futures. We worry about how we're going to make it. We worry about retirement. We just write down the line, and these things consume people. And Paul is leaving us on this final note about contentment and how to think as a Christian. And that final word's important, because he's using himself as the illustration of how the Lord has provided for him and how the Lord has cared for him in a very difficult circumstance. So I want to begin here with his thank you to the Philippians with regard to three P's. If you're taking notes, I got creative here this week. The provision of need, okay, for his need. His perspective on need, and then the final promise that God makes regarding need. Okay? So we're looking at the provision here first, as Paul rehearses that with the Philippians. I want you to notice verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Paul had a great need. Paul himself, the great apostle. And God didn't rain down food on the doorstep. He had to live in dependency. Paul, the apostle Paul. And Paul is here thanking him. This is a big thank you note at the end of the book for the gift that he had received through Epaphroditus. Remember, he was mentioned in chapter 2, the man who got sick almost to death and bringing the gift to Paul all those miles. Here, he references that. We don't quite know what it was, but it was clearly what he needed, food and monetary benefit to help him to survive. So it was a huge act of generosity on the part of this church. And Paul here describes that. He describes the way he was provided for. And I think it's intended to leave the church with a great encouragement to them and perspective in their giving and in their need. Paul had written much to them to address their conflict, but he wanted to make sure he left them on a final note to know that he loved them dearly. He loved them dearly. And he was completely taken by their generosity to him. He says in verse 14, notice it there, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." There's something that Paul's been working for with in this book, a mindset to help the Philippians. He is so thankful here. And you almost get the sense that he's struggling to communicate the gratitude, right? He's really struggling where he says here, I rejoiced that you now at length have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of. And he says this twice. He's really concerned that they understand his motivation in referencing the gift, the money probably that he received from them. Verse 17, not that I desire the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I'm not really excited about the money. I want you to know that. Well, this just gives us all relief. Those TV preachers you don't have to listen to anymore, right? I mean, how much damage has that done in the history of the church? And I have to say, one of the things I have never wanted to do as a pastor is stand up here, and I've heard it done, and beat people over the head over their giving. There's something fundamentally wrong about that. There's something wrong about that. Giving comes out of hearts that are changed by the gospel. Giving comes when you have cheerful hearts that give. And Paul is here even careful in how he says this. He says, I'm not excited about the money. I'm excited about what it says God's doing in you. The very fact of their giving meant that Paul says here something interesting. It would abound to their account. He was full of joy because a giving people and a giving people was a healthy sign of what the gospel had accomplished in them. This is what joyed the apostle. Because he knew, and he says it here. Sometimes we've reacted rightly against the prosperity message. But I don't think you can throw out the basic principle here that is mentioned. Paul understands that God would bless them abundantly for that. He's not hesitant to say that. That doesn't lead us into that, do this, then God will do this, terrible theology. That's not what I'm supporting here. But Paul understood this, that their giving was an evidence of their profession and their thankfulness for the gospel. You don't get generous people apart from grace. You don't produce fruits of gratitude unless the gospel has really gotten into the hearts of people. That's the kind of cheerful giving the Lord loves. And he wanted to them to know how thankful he was. See how giving is really from a thankful heart, indicative of how people have been touched by the gospel. You don't even let your right hand or your left hand know what the right hand let what the left hand know. I didn't say that right. You know the verse, right? You don't even know what it's doing. How about that? There you go. Paul says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus your gift, I think something else is really important here. It never dawned on me until this week, studying on this, that essentially what Paul's saying here, and I think this is going to lead into in a minute this great point on contentment, that essentially what Paul said here is sometimes God puts us in difficult positions of need. Sometimes God puts us in difficult positions of need, and that is part of our ministry to someone. Listen, to let them help us so that fruit would abound to their account. You ever realize that? That God is so in control of your circumstances that He may bring you into a time of loss and hardship. And that you may need to put out your hand so that somebody else whom He has blessed may put into your hand. And that God would bring good fruit in their life from that. That's love. By all this, men will know you're my disciples for the love that you have for one another. We're not real good at that, so He may create the circumstances. Did you know that? Some of us are so prideful, including the pastor. We don't ever want any help from anyone. Because we're going to come to church today and show everyone we're together. Look at how I'm dressed. Giving and receiving is an entire illustration of the gospel. Understand that? And when you give to help in the ministry, those who have needs, you bear fruit from the gospel. And when you are in need, and God puts you in a circumstance of need, before God, He may put you in a humble position to have to stretch out your feet to be washed. No, Jesus, stop that. Get up. We're all beggars who are dependent upon God to supply all our needs. How does God do that? That's the point of the text today. See, I think what Paul's getting at now is he's illustrating for us what God taught him about contentment in life. Why is this so important? Because what follows, what Paul does, is explain his own example and how it illustrates with this church what he's learned, God has taught him, and what he's learned about divine contentment and human contentment. It has to do with the sufferings that we face and the difficulties and the hardships. He sees this provision from the church, listen to this, as an opportunity to help them in his situation to understand what God's doing. By receiving the gift, it was a blessing upon them. So the whole thing here is an exercise in dependency in both places. Now that's the point I'm about to make here. Whether you're full or whether you have loss, it's all about dependency. So notice what he says. For I have come to learn, in whatever state I am, to be content. I have come to learn this. I had to learn this. This does not come natural to anyone. Everyone here is not naturally content. So maybe that makes you feel better. It's something you have to learn. It's something that's taught to you by God. That He's orchestrating the circumstances of life to teach you this, to teach you dependency and contentment. And the first thing you notice here is how Paul says this here, I've had to learn this because we fight for independency ourselves from God. That's the natural place we like to be. We want to be alone. We want to be independent. We don't want accountability. We don't want to be connected. We just want to give enough so that there's no real tie to dependency. Notice what he says. Not that I'm speaking, verse 11, of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know, verse 12, how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I've learned the secret of something that's a deep mystery. It's interesting you chose secret. Not in the Gnostic sense that I have some sort of secret knowledge. Whatever he's about to say with regard to contentment, we have to see that this is something God's working to teach us and train us in. It's the height of sanctification in life, in my opinion, as a pastor, to learn this and to learn how to be content. He's helping them with this. What did he learn? Contentment. You know where he is right now, beloved? Prison. They didn't get meals like our prisons do. Think about it. Paul was completely dependent upon the gifts of the church to survive. Family and friends in the Roman prisons had to bring food and provision so that they'd live. The government didn't supply it. If you look down toward the bottom of this text, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He's illustrating something for us in this right now. Paul had no way to live. He wanted them to know that God was supplying his every need through them. And he was meeting his needs through the church. And because of that, the gospel was going to Rome and beyond. I mean, he mentioned Caesar's households. God actually has a great prison ministry for Paul. So if we ever went to prison, he'll give you a prison ministry. Whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. That is so difficult. And I confess, this is probably the hardest passage in Philippians I've had to preach. In every circumstance? What do you make of this? I've learned to be self-sufficient. Not in myself, but in the Lord. Paul's again saying, he's not saying what we might think, how you might hear this and say, well, every situation just going to be good and bad. It's this way. I've transcended my mind to be independent. I don't have to feel any of this. I've learned to numb the pain. I've learned not to feel any of this and just numb my mind away from it all. That's what the culture does with these things. That's not what he's talking about. What Paul's saying here is I've learned a better way to look at everything.
Well, we are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Chris and an exciting announcement about an upcoming conference being held at Escondido URC that Pastor Chris is a part of. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments about the program today, we would invite you to reach out to us. Now, there are several ways that you can do so. You can visit our website, agradio.org. It's there that you will also find links to some of the other platforms that we are on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, that's agradio.org. Past programs can be found there as we archive all of our broadcasts at that website. If you have other questions or concerns, maybe you'd like to partner with us financially, reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. As promised, now once again, here's Pastor Chris with an exciting announcement about an upcoming regional Ligonier conference hosted at the URC Church in Escondido. Chris?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. That was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is "If the Foundations Are Destroyed," and that's kind of based in Psalm 11. the talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled, The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed, looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And then come back and join us again next time as our studies in the Word of God will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.